Chapter 4, The Court of Kublai Khan, 1292. The Khan's great summer palace at Kleeman Fu was like a giant tent made from cane and tied together with silk cords. We knelt before the Khan, a short, fat man with a long, untidy beard. We were tired from travelling and were trembling with fear. We didn't have the 100 Christian men. Was he furious about this? After looking at us for a minute, he said, "You may stand up." To our amazement, the Khan was very happy to see us and asked many questions about our long journey. "Great Khan," my father said, "we brought you the oil from Jerusalem and a small present from the Pope." The Khan promised to save the holy oil for his entire life. He looked at me and asked, "Who is the young man?" "That is my son," my father said. "His name is Marco and he's 17. "Welcome to the East, Marco Polo," the Khan said. "I am very pleased to meet you." The Khan also owned a winter palace, and it was an incredible place. Gold paintings of men and beasts covered his marble walls. 6,000 people dined every night in the great hall. Khan kept 10,000 white horses outside the palace. He calls this pleasure place Sangdu, but it sounds like Xanadu. The great Khan liked me. I spoke Tatar, the language of the Mongols, and started to study Chinese. He enjoyed my stories about life in the West, and I often dined with him. "Tell me another story about Venice," he said. Soon, we became good friends. One day, the Khan said, "Marco, I'm going to make you an attendant of honor in my court. It will be a big honor to your father and your uncle. I will send you on confidential missions. I may even send you to Khorasan to govern your own province." "Thank you, Khan," I said. "You're a very generous leader." "Don't be so excited, young man," the Khan said. "Some of the Chinese officers will be jealous. They don't like Europeans, but I do. I'm the emperor, and I say you must stay here." And so, I became Kublai Khan's right-hand man. The job was not easy, but I loved it. Kublai Khan sent me to his conquered lands to bring him back reports. He loved hearing my opinions of China, and he knew I was always honest. Life in China was very different from Venice. They had many strange customs. Family life was different too. For example, a Mongol man could have many wives. If he died, his eldest son married all the widows, except his own mother. The Chinese liked drinking kumis, a wine made from horse's milk, and they put many spices in their food. They ate a strange food called spaghetti. It looked like a lot of worms, but I loved it. In the market, they used paper money instead of gold and silver. Paper money was much easier to carry around. They also cultivated special worms to make a long thread called silk. From these threads, they made the most beautiful soft fabrics. They burned black rocks called coal in their fires. Coal burned much better than wood, and it kept the baths warm. And in China, everybody had a bath at least 3 times a week. But without doubt, fireworks were the strangest Chinese invention. When the fire touched them, they made a big explosion. I wanted to take all these things back to Venice. But when? I worked and travelled all over China. It was an enormous country with a lot of power and wealth. China made Europe seem very small, and it was just one country. I travelled to the farthest ends of the Mongol Empire and told the emperor about the interesting areas of his kingdom. The Khan was planning to make me a tax collector for the great city of Yansu, a city with canals just like Venice. Working for the Khan was marvellous, but for how long? We thought we were just visiting to bring him some oil, but the months were becoming years. We were rich and knew a lot about the world, but we wanted to go home to Venice.